All right, Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4. We're going to roll through this. A couple of things by way of introduction. You cannot miss the Ark of the Covenant in these chapters. If you miss the Ark of the Covenant, you miss something extremely important. The Ark of the Covenant is mentioned 16 times, at least, depending on your translation, in Joshua chapter 3 and chapter 4. It's the first time that the Ark of the Covenant has been mentioned since Deuteronomy 31. So why is the Ark of the Covenant important? What does it symbolize? It symbolizes the Lord's presence. So here what we're going to focus on is that the Lord is present, that the Lord is there. The Ark of the Covenant is going to symbolize that for us. And so never lose sight of the Lord. Here's your main idea if you're taking notes. We'll come back to this again and again. Remember and proclaim that the Lord is Almighty. Remember and proclaim that the Lord is Almighty. That's what these two chapters do. So if you're wondering what the breakdown's going to be, we're going to see a miracle in chapter 3. This is where he stops the Jordan River from flowing and parts it so they can walk across on dry ground. So there's a miracle that takes place which displays God's might. It displays that he's over all of creation, that he is the Almighty One. And then we're going to see a memorial forever to God's faithfulness. Now that memorial in chapter 4 is 12 stones. For us, that memorial is chapter 4. We don't go see the stones that are over there, the stones that have been moved or taken away or anything else. We've got our own stones. We'll talk about that later. But we have chapter 4. And so we see a miracle and we see a memorial. And both of those things testify to the fact that we should remember and then proclaim that the Lord is Almighty. I'm going to read a couple of verses for you. If you're able, would you stand in honor of the reading of God's word and go to chapter 4. We're going to go to the end. We're going to see why all of this is here, and then we're going to come back and have a good time walking through it. Chapter 4. Let's see, where do we want to start here? We'll start in verse 21. And so he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, what do these stones mean? Perhaps the better question for us today is, what does chapter 3 and 4 mean? Why is this in here? What's the meaning of it all? Here's the meaning. For the Lord your God, notice the Lord your God's mentioned like 4 or 5 times here. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that, there's your clause, all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Proclaim that the Lord is Almighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. All right, let's go back and walk through it. All right, I'm just going to walk through it. We'll have a good time here. Chapter 3. You start off in chapter 3, you're transitioning. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, and he and all of the people of Israel lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, okay, so time out. Think about the setting here. All of the people from Israel, I have a map for you. I think I skipped the map, but go ahead and throw that map up there. I have a map for you. So you see where they left from, and you can see Gilgal up here, but as you cross over there, you see the Jordan River coming down, flowing in to the Dead Sea. You can see Jericho, you can see Ai, you can see where they're headed, you can see some other things that are taking place there, but there you see the river. So they're going to transition and walk, and they're going to go and they're going to camp beside the river. Now, why in the world are they camping beside the river? I don't know. But what we're going to learn in chapter 3 is that the river's at flood stage. So when you look up, you've got Mount Hermon, and it's melting, and all of the snow is turning into water, and all of that water is running down and going into the Jordan River. And there's an elevation drop from where all that takes place so that the water then picks up speed. And this is in the harvest season, which is when it rains even more. And we all understand that there are seasons where it rains a lot, and then there are seasons like right now where we really need some rain. But there's a lot of rain that has taken place, and so the Jordan River is flooded. And the author, as he talks us through this and he walks us through this, he's going to tell us, even at the most critical moment, he's going to call a timeout and he's going to say, look, the river's overflowing its banks. So whatever the Jordan River was, it is massively larger and deeper. And now all of these people are coming and they're camping out beside a river. How many of you have ever camped out beside a river? You camp out beside the river, the noise never stops. It's like the pinnacle of God's white noise that is coming into our ears as we're sitting there listening to raging waters. This is not the bubbling brook that you might put on your phone to help you go to sleep. These are raging waters that are descending and have elevation, and it's probably 8 to 10 feet deep and who knows how wide, and it's covered up both sides of the bank, so all of the brush is now involved in it. So even as you're trying to get to the river to cross, it's deep and it's wide, and you're sitting there listening to all of this, and I have no doubt, the text doesn't tell us, but I have no doubt that there are people who are sitting there wondering, Joshua, what are you thinking? We know you're a new leader. We know that you're not Moses. We know that this is not your thing yet, that you're just trying to get your feet under you, but we don't cross the Jordan during this time. The Jordan, you know, you had the fords. You had the areas where you could cross the Jordan when the water was low, but when the water's high, this is impassable. This is just dangerous. And so a father standing there, the 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old. How am I going to get my kids across safely? How am I going to get across safely? Water 10 feet deep, raging. I mean, these are the rapids. I mean, jump in your raft and throw in your life jacket and let's go and let's squeal like a little girl as we're going through all of these rapids and having a blast. This is not the time to cross. Joshua, what are you thinking? But God had a purpose. Because God brought them to the Jordan River in a season and in a time where they could not cross it in and of themselves. Because everything that lies before them, it's a way they haven't gone before. Everything that lies before them, you cannot do in your own power. And friends, there's going to be a moment in your life where God is going to bring you to something that you cannot do by yourself. And when God does, perhaps what he's doing is he's there to show you, I've got this even though you don't. Will you trust me? So here they are at the side of a raging river, and they're there for 3 days. 3 days to sink in your mind. We can't do this. This is not going to happen. The anticipation builds. In the text, we go through it so fast. But do you feel the anticipation as though this were a movie and they're showing the river and they're showing logs coming down and crashing over rocks and going through and everybody's looking and saying, there's no way we can cross this. What is he thinking? At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and the commander of the people. And they said, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant, first time it's mentioned since Deuteronomy 31, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, Lord, all caps, meaning Yahweh, personal name of the Lord, as soon as you see the Lord's covenant, the Ark of the Covenant being carried by the priest, then you set out from your place and follow it. But there's going to be a distance. There's a distance between you and it of about 2,000 cubits. How long is that? It's about a half a mile. Why in the world are we going to be a half a mile away from the ark as it's going forward? Well, you need to be able to see the ark. You need, remember, these are millions of people. You need to be able to see it. Don't come near it. Perhaps it's because it's holy. Probably just so that you'll be able to see where you're supposed to go. Because you haven't passed this way before. And friends, there are times in our lives where God calls us to do something that we've never done before. And when we're going into a point in life where we've never done something before, what do? You follow the Lord and you trust the Lord and you follow his presence here as it's symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We follow the presence of the Lord when we go ways we haven't passed before. And Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself. Confess your sin, wash yourself, wash your clothes, prepare your heart, get ready, consecrate yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Can you imagine being in Joshua's shoes? Why is it that chapter 1 tells Joshua be strong and courageous 4 different times? Joshua standing before the people with a raging river behind him, trusting that God's going to do something that Joshua can't do. Joshua, what's your plan? They're going to put the Ark of the Covenant in the water. And then what's going to happen? Well, here he's going to tell them. Consecrate yourself. He said to the priest, take the Ark of the Covenant up. You're passing on before the people. So they took the Ark of the Covenant up and they went ahead of the people. And then Joshua, the Lord tells him this, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel so that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. This flashes back to chapter 1, verse 5. He promised, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. Be strong and courageous. It comes to this point, and then it's going to flash forward to chapter 4, where we're going to see that every single word the Lord promises comes to pass. And so here, he says, I'm going to exalt you. Oh, there's a lesson for us here, too. There's so many lessons, we just don't have time to get to them all and spend time on them all. But you don't exalt yourself in prideful arrogance. The Lord exalts. You humble yourself so that in the proper season, perhaps the Lord will exalt you. So here he's going to begin to exalt him. Verse 8, and as for you, you command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come near the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. There's a play on words here. The raging river that is doing anything but standing still, and yet when you come to it, stand still in the Jordan. And so Joshua said to the people of Israel, here is your strong and courageous moment. Joshua says to all of Israel, come here, lean in. Listen closely, because I've got a word for you. He says to them, lean in. Listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua says, before it happens, here is how you shall know that the living God, circle that, underline that, highlight that, our God is not a God made of stone or a God that's made of wood. Our God is not an idol. Our God is not shaped in the fashion of a yellow jacket or a calf or anything else that you may think of. Our God is the living God, and he is the God who is almighty over all things. We don't bow down to idols. We don't worship idols. We worship the living God. Come here and lean in, because I want to show you the monument that we have in Joshua chapter 3 and 4. Here's how you're going to know that the living God is among you. And he's among us this morning too. The living God is here with us, among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. There's 5 lists in Joshua. This is the first of them. He says, behold, the Ark of the Covenant. You see that repeatedly here. The presence of the Lord of all the earth is passing before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men. He's already picking out his 12 men. Why? 12 men, one from each tribe. And he's going to have a task for them. We'll get to it. And when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan River shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming from above shall stand in one heap. No, he didn't. Did Joshua just call God shot? Did he walk onto the basketball court of biblical times and say, I got this? Did he step up to the plate of leadership and point to the fence and say, let's go? He just told all the people of Israel, lean in. How many of you would be bold enough to do something like this, even if God told you what was going to happen? I'd be terrified to death. Yeah, but God, if it doesn't happen, I'm dead. Like, they will stone me. God, are you really going to come through for me this time? Strong and courageous. Because every single word the Lord says will come to pass, and the Lord will always be with you. This is what happens. So Joshua sets out from the people, and the people set out from their tents, and they pass over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as soon as those bearing the Ark of the Covenant has come as far as the Jordan and the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant were dipped into the brink of the water, what happens? You see how he's telling the story? Comma, parentheses. Don't miss the scene. As soon as they come to the Jordan, parentheses. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the times of harvest. End parentheses. Okay, you may not be Joshua, you may be the priest. What are you gonna do? You're carrying the ark. You've got the poles. You've got the poles on. You're coming to the edge of the river. The river is overflowing. It is a crazy river. It is raging. It is wide. It is deep. It is impassable. This is impossible. There is nothing that we can do. Are you stepping in the river or not? Are you trusting God or not? We don't have a pile of rocks. We got Joshua chapter 3 and 4. And friends, when you come to that impossible river, you're not gonna get across it on your own. But if God has told you to cross that river, are you gonna step in the water? Are you gonna trust him? Are you gonna obey him? Parentheses, it's overflowing. They step into it. And the waters coming down from above stood and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. Now the commentaries differ. Some say this is 16 miles away. Some say this is 20 miles away. So I'm just saying it's over 15 miles away because that covers all of it, right? So over 15 miles away, the water stands up. That's a long way, y'all. But there's millions of people that have to cross. They're a half mile back looking, and all of a sudden the waters stand up. Do the waters stand up so high everybody can see them? I don't know. The author doesn't tell us because that's not the important part. The important part is that God is the Almighty One and that we should remember all of this. That's the important part. And so the waters stand up like 15 miles away, and then they all start crossing. This is what happens. They stood up. And those flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, they completely cut off. And then the people passed over opposite Jericho. I wonder what Jericho was thinking at this moment in time, huh? I mean, you know they had spies out and they were watching, and all of a sudden the water stands up like, oh my word, I got to go tell the king. Something weird's happening here. Now you'll have some people that doubt the word of God that they're going to say, well, this has happened before because there was an earthquake and the earthquake dammed up the water. Listen, the Lord did a miracle here. Even if the water was dammed up by the earth that fell into it, which I don't think that's the case. I just think he said, stop right there. And I think he said, I didn't say Simon Says, whoa. And the water just stopped. But however God did it and stopped it, and they all went across, and then God allowed the waters to return to their flood banks, and they walked across on dry ground. So you tell me, what's the bigger miracle? Is the bigger miracle stopping the water, or is it drying up all that ground where all this water had been running, and all of a sudden it's dry ground? Either way, take your pick. These are incredible miracles that the Lord's done here. He stood the water up, and then they stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of that shaky, crazy, overflowing wild river. They stood firm because they built their house on the rock, not on the sand. They stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground. It's repeated, so we don't miss it. The land's not wet. You ever been to a river that just overflowed? You ever walked on the edge of a river that has just overflowed? You ever sunk up in the marsh ankle deep? You get so deep that your shoe gets sucked in and you pick your shoe back up and all of a sudden your shoe's now off because it just sucked it away from you? No. This is dry ground. This is a miracle. And then it says they passed over on dry ground until all the nation. Now they've been called the people of Israel for a long time, but here all of a sudden they're called a nation, and they're called a nation, chapter 4, 2, until that nation finished passing over the Jordan. That's the miracle. So now we move to the memorial. Chapter 4, when all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men, we get our 12 men again, from the people, from each tribe, and command them, saying, take 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you're going to lodge tonight. That's Gilgal. That's 8 miles away. That's a long way to be hauling stones. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel that he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark, your God, into the midst of the Jordan and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulders according to the number of the tribes of the people. So 12 stones. And this may be a sign among you that when your children ask in times to come, why do we need a memorial? Because we are forgetful people. Why do we need a memorial? Because our kids may not have experienced God's faithfulness in the same way that we have experienced it, and we need to be able to tell them. Why do I wear an ugly leather bracelet on my wrist? Because I need a reminder that when I prayed, the Lord answered and he provided. And so every day when you wake up and you're wondering, can I step into the Jordan? Can I do this? You respond with, yeah, because the Lord is faithful and we can trust him. That's why in your life, you need a memorial. You need a jar that you put down answered prayers on and you just stick them in them so that when you're in that dark night of the soul and you're wondering, God, are you even there? You pop open that jar and you begin to read all of the answered prayers. You need a bracelet. You need something. You need 12 stones that are laying around in a place where they're not supposed to be laying around, reminding us all that the Lord is faithful. When your children ask, this is what you're supposed to tell them. That the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant, before the presence of the Lord, when he passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And the people of Israel did exactly what Joshua commanded. They took 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes, just as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. Now, this next line is a little confusing. Because it says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. Is this a second memorial in the middle of the Jordan that you maybe can't see because it's underwater? Perhaps. That's one possible interpretation. Or does this just mean that he set up the stones that were taken from the midst of the Jordan and you just have one memorial at Gilgal? I think that's probably the better interpretation, but it's up for debate. So you all can debate it. In the place where the feet of the priests were bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they're there to this day. At the writing of this, they're still there. For the priest bearing the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished, and the Lord commanded Joshua, tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. Now look at this line. They passed over in haste. That's kind of funny, and it's kind of smart. Because if I'm on one edge of this Jordan River and all of a sudden the waters stop up, I'm not waiting. No, this is me when I'm in a rush at the red light that's about to turn green and I gotta merge. I'm hitting the gas, baby. We're going. We are gonna get across and we're gonna jump over in front and off we go, and I'm not looking back. I'm going across that Jordan as fast as I can get across that Jordan. They went across in haste. It's real. It's keeping it real here. You're not gonna sit there and camp out in the middle of the Jordan River where it's just dried up. Let's stop here and take a moment. No, get across before the waters wipe you out. And when all the people had finished passing over, the Ark of the Covenant and the priests passed over before the people, the sons of Reuben, Gad, it's reminding us the half-tribe of Manasseh, they all passed over. There's the tip of the spear. 40,000 soldiers ready for war passed over, but it's not time yet. We'll get there to the plains of Jericho. Now look at what it says here. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. Do you remember in chapter 3 where he told us he would do that? Do you remember in chapter 1 where he told us he would do that? Do you remember that every single word that the Lord says will come to pass? And they all stood in awe of him just as they had in Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests in the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan. So the priests came up. When they came up out of the Jordan, bearing the ark of the covenant from the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priests were lifted up on dry ground. The waters returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. So the people came up on the 10th day of the first month. Underline that. Because the 10th day of the first month, 40 years previously, is the moment that they chose that Passover lamb that they were to take into their house and begin preparing for the first Passover. Why was it that the Lord brought them to the Jordan when it overflowed the banks? He had this timing in mind the whole time. Nothing the Lord does happens by accident, friends. You're not here by accident. The Lord has a plan and a purpose. And they camped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask in the times to come, what do these stones mean? Let your children know that Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground. Who did it? Did Joshua do it? No. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried them up a generation previously. So that all the people of the earth may know, what? That the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God. They took a stone. They grabbed a stone out of the middle of a river. These came out of the middle of Cedar Lake. They were washed. This thing's heavy. They carried it 8 miles. And I don't know if they set them up in a circle, or I don't know if they took them and decided to play Legos with them. That one's not gonna stay. I don't know what they did. I would have thought they would have made a bigger monument. So maybe they took them and spread them out in a circle. But let me ask you the question. When you walked in this morning, did you look at the rocks and go, I wonder what the rocks are for? Oh, well, they served their purpose then, didn't they? The rocks don't matter. But remembering what God has done for you does. What's the point? The point of chapter 3 and chapter 4 is to remember and then proclaim that the Lord is almighty. So here's your points of application. Number one, God is faithful. We can trust him. God told Joshua, I'm gonna stop the waters. God, you can't do that. Sure he can. I'm at the edge of the Red Sea. Am I gonna put my foot in it? I'm carrying the ark. The presence of the Lord is here. Am I gonna be faithful? I'm at a place called Cedarville, and the Lord tells me to trust him. He tells me to repent of my sin and put it behind me. He'll guide my ways. Am I gonna trust him? I'm about to head off to grad school. I'm looking for a job as soon as I graduate school, and this is coming up, and I just don't know what's gonna happen. Am I gonna trust him? Friends, forgetfulness will erode your faith. And that's why we set up monuments. That's why we do it in our society. That's why you go to places and you see monuments, and those monuments tell you the story to remind you of things that you will have forgotten or that the next generation never experienced. And we say things like, we will never forget, but we forget. We say, oh, I'll never forget this. This was such a big moment in my life. These moments are unusual. These moments don't happen frequently. That's why we set up monuments to them. God doesn't go around every day doing miracles. We don't go around every day seeking for the Lord to do something that's miraculous. He parted the Red Sea. He parted the Jordan. He doesn't do things like that all the time. So you set up a memorial to remind you that this is what the Lord can do. And the Lord in his grace gave us his word so that we can look back at Joshua 3 and Joshua 4 and say, the Lord is faithful. So the Lord calls us to respond with the fear of the Lord. Fear him. This is the God that can stop the waters. This is, in our New Testament times, this is Jesus who looks out at the raging sea and says, peace, be still. Chill out. Take a time out and go to the corner and be on your best behavior. And the water doesn't just stop slowly. The water that's raging, that's scaring the professional fisherman, all of a sudden goes and is quiet. And everybody says, who is this? It's the Lord of all the earth. It's God Almighty. And so whatever little river you're facing in your life right now can't compare to the might of your God. So we respond with reverent awe and fear of the Lord, and we serve him. The Ark of the Covenant, it leads the way. It's the presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit that lives within us leads the way. We follow. The Lord tells us where we go. The Lord, we may plan, but the Lord directs the paths of men. And we trust and obey. We follow. That's what we do. This is how we roll. It's 1519. Cortez landed on this new coast. And when he landed on this new coast, he had 600 men, not nearly enough men for the assignment that he was going to try to do. And so what he did was destroyed all of his ships. Some say he burned them. Some historians say, well, he didn't actually burn them. He just destroyed them. But burning them makes for a better illustration. And so it's kind of caught on that he burned his ships. I don't know where he burned them. I don't know how he destroyed them. I don't know what he did. But we know that with 600 men, he said, you're not going back that way. And so they had to go forward and they had to conquer the Aztec Empire, which they did. Think about this. You've crossed this raging river. The Lord stopped it. You went across on dry ground. As soon as you set foot on the other side, all of a sudden the raging river is back. It overflows its banks. You can't cross back over. You look in front of you and there's a town. It's called Jericho. It has walls in front of it. It is fortified. You have no fortifications. You're not a people of war. You're a nomad people. You've been wandering the desert for 40 years. You don't know what you're supposed to do. You don't know how you're supposed to react. And here you are. Do you ever wonder if somebody said, I think I want to go back the other way? We sit here and we go, no, you don't go back across the Jordan. That's foolishness. But how many of us have stepped across our own Jordans and our own lives and we get to a point where we go, no, I'm not sure I can trust God to do anymore. And so I'm gonna go back to what's familiar to me. I'm gonna cross back over and get back involved in my own sinfulness. And what I wanna tell you all right now is burn your ships. Get rid of the bridges, cross the Jordan, stand on the other side, look forward to the Lord's presence as he leads you forward because he is faithful. And there may be somebody in the room right now, and you may know, you just need to lay something down. You just need to be done with it because you're not going back across the Jordan. You just need to trust the Lord. And so we're gonna sing. And if you need to come lay something down, if you need to come gather a stone of remembrance, the altar's open. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to do whatever you need to do as we sing praises to the Lord, as we sing these songs, which are in themselves a memorial to the one true almighty God, the Lord of all the earth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you are the one true God. You are almighty. You are the one we trust in. So help us to sing. Help us to worship. Help us to respond to what your text has said in reverent awe. As we have read this timeless memorial to your faithfulness and to your glory, help us to worship you. And Lord, if we need to lay something down, help us to respond as the Spirit leads for your glory and in Jesus' name.